What's going on, you guys? Welcome to another dope episode of Creative Conversations, where a couple of creators get together, just shoot the shit for a little bit. You can find this show on Apple Podcasts and Spotify under Creative Conversations. Just search for my face and make sure you hit that like, that follow, that five star, so we can bump the conversations up in the algorithm. Tonight, we have a very special guest. This young lady is out here working in the film industry. This lady is busy. Do you hear me? She definitely is making moves and making ripples in this scene, and she's going to make sure that she has a spot at the top. This is a powerful producer and actress that will ensure that a great story will be told at all times. Everyone, please give a warm welcome to my good friend, Kaya Klingman. How are you doing tonight?
Wow, Blair, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm doing well. I'm appreciative of this space to rest. I feel like I have been going a mile a minute, and I'm just excited to have this conversation with you and share this space with you.
No, I appreciate it. I'm definitely happy that you were able to get on. We were just saying earlier, we've been trying to get together for a few months now, but I mean, you
Yes.
gotta get in where you fit in. So I appreciate you penciling me in for a second.
Oh, of course. The perfect time is now, so
Of
I'm happy to be
course, of
here.
course. Now, before we get into it, do me a quick favor and tell the people just a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Oh, people always ask me this question, and I swear I end up talking for like 5 minutes. So let's see how short I can make it this time. But hi, everyone. I am Kaya Alexandria Klingman, born and raised in Cincinnati, Ohio, the nasty natty. I have lived kind of all over. After I moved from Ohio to attend Howard University, the real HU. I've lived
Tell
in DC, in Chicago, in LA, in Atlanta. My parents are now in Greenville, South Carolina, so that's my new home. And I've also lived in London when I studied abroad in college. And
Okay,
I am a
fancy.
passionate filmmaker and storyteller.
Nice,
Okay, that
nice,
was like
nice.
30 seconds. I'm
There you
getting
go.
better.
You've been doing this for so long. You're so dope that you just got it down pat now. You know what I'm
Oh,
saying?
thank you.
It's all good. It's all good. So, a little bit of backstory. Kaya and I met during a photo meetup at 404. You were shooting with Keith, right? The coolest Keith. Awesome, awesome
Shout out to
photographer.
Keith.
For sure. Shout out to my boy. So, I saw you in there. You had the long braids. You were doing your thing with the dope t-shirt. You had the chucks on. And I
Ooh,
was
you remember
like,
the chucks. Okay.
yeah. And I was like, oh, I would love to shoot you. Got a few shots of you. Got to meet you. Got to connect. And then I found your Instagram, and I remember I was like, oh, I followed this young lady before. I was like, oh, okay, this is the same girl. Okay, cool. So let's a little bit of time go by. We're having our phone conversation, getting to know each other, talking about shooting together. And you tell me about a dope series called Doing It Wrong and how you were in it. And I was like, that was you. I watched that on Black and Sexy. That was so dope.
Wow, shout out to Black and Sexy. Shout out to Dennis Dortch.
Yeah.
I actually was developing something with him earlier this year, so I'm super excited for what Black and Sexy is doing with their rebrand. And just shout out to them because that is where I got my start. And for you to recognize me from that show, that kind of started my journey into acting for TV, not acting for theater, but acting for TV and film is just really dope. And I remember us talking about that, and I was like, okay, we're gonna be friends for
Yeah.
life.
I mean, and we were. We've definitely kept in touch. When I did sort of like the prototype of this, you were definitely on IG with me. You definitely, gave me the energy I needed, and it was super, super cool. So always appreciative of that. And even after our first shoot, we went to California Pizza Kitchen.
Yes, and
Yeah.
didn't we get the cauliflower crust?
Yeah.
Because
We
it
were
had
being
just
fancy
come
that day.
out. Yes, we were. And also, I just want to say, Blair, I've done shoots. I'm not a model, y'all, but I've done a few shoots with a few different photographers. And
Sure.
Blair was the only one who called me before and just had this really nice conversation to get to know me and for me to get to know him as well. And I was always I always thought that was incredibly thoughtful, and I think it made me more comfortable when we finally did shoot. So just wanted to say that if I never expressed that to you.
Oh, I appreciate it. I really do. I find it very important that we do, like, you're not shooting with a stranger. So you definitely want to have a conversation, see if you two mesh well, see if you got things to have in common. What's your favorite music? I remember asking you that. So
Oh,
that
yeah.
way, once we set up the shoot, I kind of get to know who you are a bit, and then it makes the environment so much fun. Well, all you have to do is just show up and do your thing.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
No problem at
And
all.
we did a few shoots after that. Think about
Actually, we did. You had the braids that time, and then you had like the blue dress with the heels and the natural hair out. We
And
shot
the
in
couch one,
the
that's like my
cat.
favorite
Oh,
one. I love that
yeah.
one.
That was dope. That
With
like
the
an ad.
tea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone loved those.
Nah, for sure. But now they're going to get to love you even more because we get to experience Kaya. So,
Yes.
in the beginning, like I said, I got to meet you as an actress. And so I know with this particular journey, it always starts either late or young. When did it really start for you?
It started young. I wish this had visuals, or maybe I can like give you a sound bite that you can add into this later. But
Hey.
there's this clip of me on Facebook, and I'm reading. I have my glasses on. I started wearing glasses at 7 years old, but I'm an only child, so my parents were extremely busy type A parents, and so I spent a lot of my time alone growing up. But within that like loneliness, I guess you could say, I found my love for reading, and I would go to the library and get like 20 books and read them all in less than 2 weeks.
Oh,
I
wow.
kid you not. So there's a clip of me on Facebook reading one of the books out loud to my mom, like trying to get her attention, and I'm doing it in such a theatrical way. Like I'm acting out the characters, like putting my fingers like over my nose and like doing all these physical gestures. It's
Nice.
kind of crazy. And looking back at home videos, my parents always say, "Man, we really missed it." Like, and things always happen when they should, but they often regret not seeing it, seeing the bug that I had as a young child. They thought I was just being silly and goofy and being an only child.
Nah.
But really, it was in me from a very, very young age. And I think it really came from my love for reading. And I was reading fictional books, so I really wanted to experience those characters in a greater way. So I would just act them out.
Oh, that's not bad. I mean, and sometimes we miss it. I mean, it's human, you know what I'm saying? But
Right.
even now, with your post that you do have on Instagram, I do see the appreciation that comes from your parents and the spark in their eyes when you make it home, knowing that their daughter's really living out her dream.
Yeah,
So,
they're so proud of
yeah.
me. They're really proud of me.
As
And
they should
I'm
be.
grateful for them. They invested a lot in me, and yeah, and it took them a little bit to come around to me full time pursuing this,
Yeah.
but I proved to them that I could do it while I did have that corporate job and like simultaneously working and doing both things, but then also leaving and hustling and grinding. And that's what I've been doing the last almost 2 years. So
Oh
yeah, they're definitely
yeah.
proud.
You definitely had a stint where you left for California for a while, right?
Yeah, so I moved to LA at the top of 2020. And I ended up staying there for a little under a year. And I ended up moving back to Atlanta and buying a condo here in Atlanta.
Ah,
But
okay.
that was not in the plan at first. I wanted to move to LA, but I got out there 2 weeks before the pandemic occurred. So my life changed very quickly. I ended up paying so much out there for rent, and I wasn't able to really, go out there and do what I had planned to do because everything shut down, right? I mean, the whole world
Yeah.
shut down, let alone the industry, the entertainment industry. And then I saw the opportunities that were starting to form from Atlanta, and I saw some of my friends getting agents in LA and New York, where that was not happening before as easily. And so I ended up moving back to Atlanta, and about 6 months later, signing with my LA and New York agent, because they were finally taking a chance on people outside of the market physically. And that has really, really helped my career.
Oh, and it shows. You've definitely been out here doing your thing. Trust me, I've been doing a little bit of research. I've been keeping up with some of your moves, man. And I'm like, and even talking to Kristen, shout out to her.
Oh, Kristen, I love you.
For sure, for sure. It's like I see both of y'all. And it seems like y'all two are like the dynamic duo.
Yes.
It's like them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we actually got to play. I don't know if she talked about this, but we got to play best friends. And that's actually when we got close, I would say. We've always had mutual friends, but her and I got really close with this project that Brandon Henderson created called Love Trial. And it never came out, and I'm not sure if it's going to come out, but I'm thankful for the relationships I made in that series. We shot that years ago, so I'm actually afraid to see it because I'm like, oh, my acting. You know how that goes when you continue to grow and evolve as an artist. But yeah, I'm just grateful that Kristen and I got to become closer during that time, and we got to learn about each other's artistry. And she's helped me so much, especially when it comes to like professional career moves. She's been like a great big sister when it comes to that.
Oh, well, shout out to the homie Kristen for growth. You feel what I'm saying?
Yes.
'Cause
Yes.
my homie Sloan always taught me it's community over competition.
Oh, definitely. And that is so difficult, especially in an industry like this that breeds like competition. It's very difficult because that's all we have is community. And like you got to look around you, horizontally, laterally, like those are that's your community. Like we're always trying to climb the ladder vertically, but the people to our left and to our right are the people who are going to hold us down and like and supposed to be pulling us up. I am such a big, fan of that, like pulling up the people that I love with me as I go. And of course hoping that they would do the same. But if they don't, knowing that I did that is really what makes me feel good at the end of the day.
No, I can hear that. I hear you on that for sure. And speaking of the people around you, it is important to reach for the people who are just as hungry as you, outside of just always reaching up, thinking that you're going to get to that top level, knowing they had their circle too. And within that circle, they have their inspirations. But who are like some of your inspirations? Are they the people around you, or do you have people that you look on outward that continues to inspire you to move forward?
So, when I was a younger artist, I mean, still young, but young in terms of experience, it used to be that outward, like I have been like obsessed with Tracee Ellis Ross. People always call me her. We don't necessarily look alike, but the big hair and our energies are extremely similar. People send me memes and videos and reels of her all the time, just saying like, "Oh my gosh, this is you." And I had a friend in LA who actually got to meet her, and they hit me up, literally called me. It was like, "You have to meet her because you all are." You literally have the same essence. So there were people like that who I really, really, and I still am looking forward to working with one day. But I'd say over the last couple of years, my inspirations have really come down to the people closest to me and the people in my circle. As far as growing my artistry, there's a few people in my circle who have really been inspiring me lately. One is Alexis Lauder. She is a sniper, like when it comes to acting and breathing life into characters, but then also having at the same time such an incredible God-like giving selfless spirit. And I just want to give her flowers right now because she entered my life very just in a random way, and we've been friends for like the past couple of years, so I'm really grateful for her. And there's just so many people I could really name like in my artistry circle, but there's a few people that aren't actors, like my three best friends, Shamil, Ariel, and Brittany, who really, really inspire me because they give me that space to vent, to open up about so many life issues that burden you outside of being a creative. Like our whole life should not be focused on this career. It really shouldn't. And I know this is Creative Conversations, but in order for us to really, really be our true creative selves, we need space outside of that creative journey. And so I
No, it
lean
makes
on my
sense.
best friends for that. And then my mom and dad, man, they are my biggest inspirations. My dad has been battling ALS for over 9 years, and we actually almost lost him in June of this year twice. And it was literally one of the scariest moments of my life. And I've been preparing to lose him for 9 years, right? Because he's been getting worse. He has a non-curable disease that they only gave him 2 to 5 years to live. But he was completely non-responsive for hours and hours back in June. And, you know, by the grace of God, he came to. And seeing my mom through that, seeing how much of a superwoman she is, she hates that I call her that. Because you know, us as women, especially Black women, don't want to carry that being strong all the time. But I see strength in her, and I get my strength from her, and I'm so incredibly just inspired by her. And with my dad, I mean, he can't lift a finger, he can't move his head, he can't scratch his head, he can't blow his nose, he can literally is 24/7 dependent on someone else. And the fact that he gets up every day and chooses life, I have no excuse. So they are my greatest sources of inspiration, and I'm forever just like thankful for them. And also there's someone else, CJ Sykes. He is my best friend, one of my best friends, and he is another inspiration to my artist journey and also my personal journey. He has seen some rough times that I've had and has stuck by me. And I'm also thankful for him. Someone to shout him out to.
I love it. And I mean, God bless your parents, your dad for sure. I remember seeing some posts on that. I've been following the journey, and I know we'll be talking about him just a little bit more later on in the
Oh,
show.
yes. I could talk about him all day.
I know, I feel that. And then just having your friends around to really inspire you, kind of keep you in check as well, and really get to see the ugly side of life and help you through that, I think is very important. We underestimate how important a village truly is, especially in our creative journeys. And going back to
Oh, it's
what you said,
imperative.
exactly. And going back to what you said about taking a break and stepping back, it's okay to do that as a creative. A lot of times, I would say society, but the people who are exposed to our gifts tend to sometimes put pressure on us to provide more because they enjoy it so much and it's a blessing that they do. But at the same time, burnout is a real thing. And it's okay to step back and be like, you know what? I'm gonna take a week and just have it to myself. I'm gonna watch a movie. I'm gonna read a book, play a video game, go to sleep. And then you'll be
Exactly.
recharged. Yeah. And you'll be
Yep.
recharged to go back and continue to move forward into growing and grow into more of the creative that you're destined to be.
Exactly. And like, no matter how that rest looks like for you, if it's taking a 2 week vacation or if it's literally just taking 5 minutes in the day to shut off your phone and just meditate or pray, like and I know this is so what like heady, and people are like, okay, yeah, meditate, journal, but it really, really helps. Or taking a nap, like that is my favorite form of self-care. Give me a nap time any time of the day, and I will definitely feel better than I did when before I started. So,
I love catching Z's. I love them. Being able to just
we don't
lay
get
out.
enough anymore as
We don't.
adults. Like what?
We don't. And
Oh, I
they
wish I
warned
could
us
get
about
all
it.
that nap time back from when I was younger. Like, come on.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm making up for it. So don't judge me. I'm sleep.
Yeah.
Where you at? I'm sleep. I'm making up for all the nap
I'm
times I took
sleep.
advantage
Yes.
didn't take
Oh, I'm gonna
advantage
start
of.
saying that. I'm gonna start saying that. Sorry, I couldn't text you back. I'm making up for my naps.
See?
Yep.
There you go. Trendsetter.
That's
You
gonna
can
be my
use
new thing because I'm already a bad texter, so I'm just gonna start using that now.
Nah, I will say this, y'all. She is. I mean, we cool. Don't get me wrong. I have a love for this lady.
No, don't
But
expose me.
she be hurting my feelings. I'd be like, oh, yo, how you doing? 6 months later.
No.
Oh, I'm fine. Nah, I'm just playing.
No, he's actually not lying, y'all.
I don't
So
think it's
that's
6 months,
really me. So
maybe
just
three.
don't take it personal because it's literally everyone. Literally everyone.
Nah, it's all good. 'Cause she's gonna get back to you eventually. It's all good.
I
So
will, I will.
now, when it comes to connecting, I know sometimes it can be hard to connect because you're so busy, but that's because you're taking time connecting to the characters that you're going to be portraying in the projects that you worked on. And I'm talking about who was it? Ordinary Joe
Good
as thank you, thank you. Ordinary Joe as Layla, Hannah Pierce in The Resident. Just a few people. You got a chance to work beside Malcolm
I
Jamal Warner.
did. Come on.
You know what I'm
Oh, my
saying?
brother.
Yeah,
Yes. Oh, I love Malcolm.
I'm telling you, and it was dope that y'all got to work together on screen. And we're going to talk about that just a little bit because I got a chance to really delve into that particular episode and really get to see you shine in that way. I mean, you
Yay.
still got what Undercover Brother 2? You got outlandish thick skin. You have a resume of work that you've definitely prepared yourself for. Tell me, what is the process for you to get ready and really prepare yourself as that character?
So that process has evolved over time. I'd say starting out for those earlier roles, like thick skin, outlandish, before I got an agent, before I became jaded by the industry, because we can talk about that too. It definitely happens. But I
Oh,
was on
wow.
fire, right? And so I was taking every acting class in Atlanta, meeting with coaches, anyone that I could get in contact with as far as like workshops and networking opportunities. I was that thirsty, and I hate to say green actor, but I was starting out when I first moved to Atlanta. And so my process for preparing, I'd say, was just different than how it looks like now. So I was following the book, right? Like whatever I learned in acting class, I was taking that to the script and doing that
Right.
script analysis and walking around in the kitchen, juggling five oranges and patting my head and moving my toes while I'm trying to memorize. Like stuff like that you
Oh,
learn in
wow.
acting class. I'm
Wow.
like, to get it in your body, just you should be doing things around the house. And I was doing all of that. And I had right before I moved to Atlanta, I moved here from New York, where I did a conservatory, the Maggie Flanigan Conservatory, and that was all Meisner. And so I was coming off of that, and so I was really into that method, and just I had that hunger. I was really thirsty, and that's how I approached my roles. But because of that, the benefits of that, like the pros of being all in, being eager, being willing to stay up all night and pour into these auditions, it also created this obstacle, right, where I would be taping auditions and I'd be up all night and I'd be doing 30 takes of the same audition, maybe
Oof.
more. And it's like, and I'm getting frustrated and crying and like and a shout out to the people who taped me for these, because I don't know why they would continue to do that. But like, and then I end up going with like the first one, and it's like, get out of your head, Kaya. So as I continue to evolve, and then I finally booked my first SAG role in 2018, which is a huge milestone in every actor's life and
Right.
journey. Things just started to change, and I feel like I was my most balanced, I would say, around that time, 2018 to 2019. And once I was booking those first roles, and I miss that headspace because I think it was kind of in the middle of where I am now and where I was when I first started out. But then COVID hit, and we are all going through so much. Like, and I was already predisposed to some mental health issues that I really struggled with in high school and college, and so my outlook on the industry did become a little jaded, and I think I'm still trying to get out of that funk right now. But now I approach like auditions, and I'll go back and answer your question about characters, but auditions is like, you know
Sure.
what? one and done, maybe two takes, honestly. Like, I'm gonna do it and I'm gonna forget about it. And that approach has really helped me not put so much pressure on myself and then not be
Sure.
so obsessed with booking the role, because that's not what it's gonna be about. Because after doing hundreds and hundreds of auditions since 2015, I, you know, it gets hard receiving no or not receiving any feedback, which equals rejection. You know what I mean? Like, not getting
Right.
the role is, and that's what
Right.
we have to deal with. But the fact that, like, when you interview for a normal job, you get a letter, an email saying, sorry, we're going with someone else. Like, we don't even get that. So that's been a difficult mind game to adjust to. But when it comes to characters, when it comes to finally booking that role, oh, I'm gonna go all in, like, for sure. And speaking of my favorite role, and shout out to all the roles I've gotten to play on screen and auditioning too, because we also are bringing so much to the audition space. But I have learned how to kind of decrease my energy output for audition so I can save it for when I actually do book the role.
Okay.
So, for like, so The Resident, for example, that was my fa that's been my favorite booking, and not really, I wouldn't say the role, but the experience. Like, the Resident set was literally just the most family oriented set I've ever been on. And I mentioned, or you mentioned, Malcolm Jamal Warner, who has now become such a close friend to me and to my family now, who just really extended his heart and his warmth and his light. Like, truly, he is a light to me in a space where I really needed it, and offered that, like, on his own. I will be forever grateful. But with that one, so that audition, I literally turned it in like 30 minutes before the deadline. I did one take of it, and I simply just looked at Hannah and related to her. I didn't do any fancy, like, substitution techniques. I just saw this woman who had been struggling with something her entire life, having heart problems, and finding out after her life is essentially saved. And I didn't have the whole script at the time. I only had my sides, but finding out that she has the heart of, you know, the lead number one character on the show, his wife. And so I really just, I mean, just reading that on the page, it was very easy to connect to, and it was like, what? This is amazing. And it was really just a privilege to be able to add to the show in that way. And my episode came it was 5/11, season 5, episode 11, and it came on after they had a really long break, so the fans were super super excited. And, you know, reading, like, my name and my character's name in the reviews, that was so cool, because that had never happened before.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it was an amazing amazing opportunity. And yeah, Hannah has a special place in my heart.
That's, you know what? I think you did that on purpose. She has a special place in your heart. Stop it. I'm just playing.
No pun intended.
No, but I mean, you got to think about it though. That show I've noticed. I've seen a couple episodes and yours included, and I noticed that this show has six different stories going on in one. So it's
Yes,
about,
they have an A side, a B side, a C side, a D side. Like, yes.
exactly. So you have so many subplots going on towards your main plot. So I was going through and I was like, when am I about to see my friend? And then I saw you. And then I kind of put everything together because I was like, man, she was an integral piece of this episode because one, she's connected to the main doctor. Okay. Having his deceased wife's heart in the transplant. Okay, cool. The episode is called The Heart. So I was like, oh man.
Yeah,
So
her
she's
heart.
literally her
Yeah.
heart, her heart, her heart. You're right. And I was like, okay, she's integral to the title. So, and then everybody was so involved in your scene, even though everybody else had other issues, you had so many of people in the main cast involved in your scenes.
Yeah.
So
they were all rooting for me because they were rooting for the lead. They were rooting for Matt. So
exactly.
Yeah, it was so dope. And I got to meet the entire cast, which was amazing. And I got to fly out to LA to get that prosthetic made that for the brain operation scene.
Oh, wow.
So that was amazing too. That was a first.
Oh man.
It was nice.
So let me ask you this. Before I move on, I know I want to talk a little bit because I think some actors and other artists can relate to this, but I also want to get the flip side of it. You mentioned that the game has made you jaded a bit and you're still kind of coming out of it. Give me like a taste of what that means as far as like you feeling jaded towards the game.
All right. So my feeling of being jaded when it comes to the entertainment industry and being a creative in general, I think comes from the combination of the emotional toll that this crazy pandemic has had on all of us and the constant rejection and imaginary timeline that we put on ourselves as artists and especially as actors. We want to get the guest star by this time, and then once we book that guest star, it's like, okay, where's the momentum? Where's my recurring guest star? Where's my series regular? And usually it hits like that. Like I know even with Kristen, we have a little group chat, and I know like she had booked like back to back FBI and
Most Wanted. Yeah.
And in Law and Order, like back to back, and something else that she's booked too that I won't say anything about. I'm so excited.
Oh, sure,
though.
Sure.
Yeah, like, you know, and that is how it usually happens. But you know, it's not like that all the time. And so we get on this high, right? It's kind of like an addiction. And that booking, filming, and even when it comes out, it's like, ooh, this feels so good. And then we have to figure out a way to wait. And I just learned this at this prayer retreat that I attended last weekend. Shout out to the prayer plug and my line sister, Jamika Carter, who organized this amazing experience. But she talked about weight training, and not W-E-I-G-H-T, W-A-I-T. Mm. And it's about what are we doing while we're waiting for God to deliver the promise that he has for us. And man, that hit me because I've been trying to get out this funk because I'm like, I'm doing everything I can to succeed. I am doing all the right things. Like I'm doing the networking. I got the agent. It's like, what am I doing wrong? I'm continuing to put 110% in the work that I do while, mm-hmm. you know, conserving my mental energy. So it's like, when is my time going to come? But then I see other people like praising me and like, Kaya, it seems like you're always doing something. You're doing so many things. It's amazing. And I do have to sometimes take a step back and say like, Kaya, look, like you had 3 premieres in a month, literally in June.
Right.
I had 3 premieres and those were for projects that I produced. Right. So it's a different feeling. And we can talk about that too,
but
it's
a
completely different feeling than the acting side. So while we're on acting, it's like, yeah, but you know, I want to book more. And I just qualified for SAG health insurance last week. So I'm super excited because it means I made a certain amount while being a SAG union member. But my mind already started thinking like, okay, well, I haven't booked anything like now within this next window. So I'm not going to qualify for it next year. And it's like, okay, calm down. Things can still happen. Things can still change. And then my manager is always telling me like, Kaya, you're booking a series regular. It's happening soon. It's happening so soon. But you know, time goes by and it doesn't happen. And it's disheartening. It really is. Which is why during my weight training, I am focusing on producing, and it might be a good segue, but I am focusing on another love that I have naturally cultivated when it comes to my artistic journey, and I equally love it. People ask me all the time, would you choose producing or acting? And I can't answer that. I can't choose, but I will say that I'm now at a place where I do love both equally, and I don't have to act in everything I produce. I actually prefer not to, But I love that control of being behind the scenes. And Cherie Antoinette will definitely tell you that I love my control. And I just worked on a amazing series with her called Hard Drive, which Blair got to attend the premiere for. And that'll be
Yes.
dropping on YouTube September 11th. So look out for that. But yeah, I got to create with her, create an amazing series, and also create a character, even though I had limited time to prep
Yeah,
because I
yeah.
had COVID. But yeah, just hopefully I was able to speak to, why I'm feeling jaded and why I feel like a lot of actors are feeling jaded because we're on this rat race and we think we're going to get somewhere by a certain time and it doesn't happen. And that timeline keeps getting extended and we just got to wait. We got to work and wait.
Well, look at it this way, Kaya. I mean, of course, truly, we are proud of you. And with
Thank you.
you having the trail that you have behind you now with the work that you've done, the way that your IMDb looks, the way that your photos look, the way that, your personality shines for the people that you meet, you touch people in ways that inspire them to continue to move forward. And
Oh,
having you on the
wow.
show,
Thank you.
yeah. So having you on the show means a lot. So it's not just about, oh, I got to talk to Kaya today, but it's more or less, I see you. And though you're in your waiting period, though you're in the place where you really want things to really take forward, God has that for you. You just got to allow him to continue to get you through the grind so that way you can be prepared for it. So
Yeah, thank you
in the
for that. I needed
meantime,
that.
no problem. And in the meantime, you also have the upward trajectory because I never stay on what we would say the negative or the trial without the upside. So the upside is you're producing. In the meantime, you're acting, you're still doing your thing. But again, you mentioned three premieres, then one of them I got to come to, which was fire. Appreciate that invitation. I felt important.
Yeah, of course, Blair.
So
And I only got
what
a
you
certain amount too, so
Oh
you were
yeah.
special.
I appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? Y'all hear that I'm special, y'all. So, with that being said, you got a chance to really shine and elevate your craft behind the scenes. And at the same time, you leverage the two. Because even though sometimes you don't like to, well, you say you prefer not to act in what you produce in, you still got a chance to be around it. You still got a chance to elevate and you still got a chance to learn. So, when you go to your next big booking, when you get that recurring role, when you start getting your own things going, you will be able to provide even more than what you have before, and you've already provided so much.
Oh, you're
So I,
right. You're so
so
right.
yeah, I just want to let you know that because Kaya can. So
Kaya Can Productions
there
LLC,
you
and I just
go.
became an S Corp, so shout out to the IRS for finally coming through. Hire me.
There you go. So when it comes to producing, because now I really want to focus on that because right now that's your bread and butter, right? That's where you're really showing your chops in a different way and challenging yourself in a different way. You say you like control. So
I
when
didn't
it
know I
comes
had
to
that,
that part of you, right?
but
You had that
I
fire.
do. Right.
So when it comes to transitioning from acting to producing to where you have more creative control, how was that transition for you and how did you hone that into being the producer you are today?
Yeah, that transition was surprisingly seamless. I mean, absolutely fluid because I was producing before I could put a name to what the roles and responsibilities of a producer even was. And
Yeah.
it all started with this series called Outlandish back in 2017, I believe. A woman named Ariel Harrison, who's now my best friend, she reached out to me on backstage and asked me to audition for the lead character in her pilot, Outlandish. And at the time, it was just the pilot, and I think she had three episodes written, and that was going to be the show. I didn't even have a backstage account anymore, so I'm not even sure how she found me. But I ended up auditioning, and long story short, booked the role, and we filmed the first episode. But her hard drive broke. And she lost everything, all the footage that we
Wow.
shot, and it was a lot. And she ended up getting the game back together and asked us if we could reshoot, and she said it would be better because she rewrote it. So we ended up shooting. We were planning to shoot this one weekend, and it was Saturday night. We were supposed to be on set the Sunday morning to shoot, and we lost our lead love interest of one of our other main woman characters. And Ariel calls me because we're closer at this point, and just calls me like flipping out, like about to cry, just like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. You know, we've invested all this time and money that, and I guess outlandish is just not meant to be. So I was actually on set for Thick Skin. Shout out to Robinsonville, creator of Thick Skin. But I was on set for that, and it was like 11:30. And I said, "Don't worry, don't worry. I'm gonna find someone." And she's like, "What do you mean you're gonna find someone who's gonna show up tomorrow morning at 8 a.m.?" And I said, "Don't worry, I'm gonna find someone." I literally found someone, and that someone was Jabri Horges, who's also one of my great artist friends, who I'm also inspired by. And he played Derek in the series. And from I think just that one decision and being able to like please Ariel in that way, like, and I know it sounds crazy, but like that's what like my control was born from there, and like me wanting to do things outside of acting. So from that day forward, I took a more active role in looking at Outlandish from like a macro perspective, like a very high level perspective. And I was like, Ariel, she showed me the footage of what we shot that next day, and I was like, this should be a whole show. What do you mean you're only gonna do 3 episodes? Let's do 8. I'll help you. I'll help you come up with the story. I'll And she's like, what? No, like it takes a long time to get location. I said, I'll do it. Like, I'll figure it out. I literally like found a tattoo shop. I finessed us, and this is when we had no money. Like, we had $0. Like, I got us a shoot in Sweet Hut for free. Like, this was, you know, I was what, like 22 years old, just like grinding. And so that my hustle and like need to like to help outside of just acting was born from that experience. And she asked me if I wanted to be her producer, and I was like, oh, sure. But I was already doing the work. So ended up producing the series, and it changed my life. And I ended up starting my production company a couple years later, 2018. 2019, I'm sorry. Kaya Cam Productions LLC, and I already had some projects under my belt. And 2019 was a big year for me because I produced three really big projects, one being Eavesdropping on the Elders, which is dedicated to my dad, that won 17 official selections and won best film 3 times. So
You just better tell him.
yes, and that was a huge feat for me because it was a SAG film before I was even a part of the union. And so I got to pay my actors and pay into the health and pension fund and like do all the paperwork, and I just felt so official. I had my business checks going, and you know, it was a big deal for me. And yeah, that's how Kaya Cam Productions was born, and I've produced so many projects now. I actually just got off set a couple weeks ago. I was producing a special project for Rolling Stone. I can't talk about what it is, but
Ooh, Rolling Stone.
super, super excited. Yeah, like, and it was amazing. And I'm just grateful for the opportunities because honestly, it's word of mouth at this point. I quit my corporate job. I was a slave to corporate, but I quit my corporate job in 2021, February 2021, stepping out on faith. And I have not had like a full-time salary corporate job since then. And I have been grinding as a producer and actor full-time. So I'm just thankful, like thankful every day. I may not be making what I was then, but like I know it's coming. And I'm just grateful I get to wake up and do what I love.
Oh no, for sure. It's definitely inspiring. I actually got to see you in action before. So, Hard Drive is the aftermath for sure of the work that you put in. And talking to Cherie, she's like your number one fan, and I love the connection that you two have.
I
Because
love Cherie so
I
much.
had her on the show, so
I
we got a
love
chance to
her.
really talk about it. So it was really dope. But I got to see you work as a producer on Plucked because you called me and asked
Yes,
me to
you
take photos on the
did.
set.
Oh my God, she just took me back,
Yeah.
and Andrew just got married this past
Ha.
weekend.
Oh, that's what's up. Congratulations. Shout out to him. So I got a chance to really see you in action and go from room to room. And you were really cool about it. Like you weren't like just flipping tables, but you made sure everything was done. You made sure everybody was cool. We were all pretty tired and you were still pumping and grinding all day. You had that coffee shop over there. What
Oh
was
yeah,
that?
I
Was it
found a
Piedmont
coffee
or?
shop in the gas station that we had to like problem solve real quick because the one that we originally that I had originally found like all of a sudden was like, no, we can't shoot there. It was crazy. So,
And I gave my boy Tyrone an opportunity to work too because you came to one of the
Exactly.
creative movie nights and met him at his crib.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I told you we
Yeah,
friends,
I
y'all.
totally
I
forgot
told
about that. We
y'all.
are. We are.
So,
And that was
like,
like the early producing days. So I'm so glad
yeah.
you got to see that in action because I feel like my work style has shifted and evolved, and just the way I carry out my business has definitely grown. So I'm proud of that.
Oh, for sure, especially with the Black Santa
Oh,
shout
yes.
out that Cherie did. So that's a huge deal too. So you got a chance to have that what preview in theaters?
Yeah, it was in select theaters around the country, and it premiered before Nope. And but more importantly, it premiered at Tribeca earlier this year through, and that was produced through Hillman Grad Productions, 271 Films, Ventureland, and Indeed. And Hillman Grad is Lena Waithe's company. So that was it was a haze, but it was amazing. Like getting to create Travis, he's the director, his vision. And finding a mall in the Atlanta metro area, like booking a mall. The entire short is it happens in a mall and it's Christmas time. So we shot a Christmas movie in what is that, April or May, whenever we shot it. So it was incredible. And I had an amazing co-producer, Gabriella, who helped, get it done. And I'm really, really proud of that.
And we're all proud of you. And speaking of people who are proud of you, I know your dad is proud of you at the project that you've done. Just briefly, give us a little bit of insight on eavesdropping on the elders.
I wanted to surprise my dad on his 75th birthday with a really special project. Like I said earlier, he has ALS. It is a fatal, non-curable disease, and there's not much that my dad can use anymore, as far as like tangible, materialistic type gifts. And so I wanted to give him something that promoted his legacy and who he is to the community, especially the Black community. He's an avid activist. He had a column for years called Blackonomics, where he promoted the I cannot say the word championing. How do you say the word
Championing.
championing? Yes. Okay, you said it. There we go. Of Black people when it comes to economic empowerment and entrepreneurship. So, my dad had sent me an email years prior asking me to adapt one of his writings called Eavesdropping on the Elders into something visual. He didn't know what it was. He was like, maybe it could be a play, or he had no idea. But that came back around the year of his 75th birthday, and I was like, this is it. This is what I have to do. I need to adapt a screenplay for him and create it. And so that's exactly what I did. And it was such an ambitious feat, especially for that time, like back in 2019. And I'm just thankful that like God literally conspired to get it done, like for me, like all the universe and everything just like lined up. I got all the cast I wanted, all the crew members to help out for very little. Even some people worked for free, and it was such just an amazing like out of body experience.
That's love.
And it really happened, I think, because of my dad. Like it was an outpour of love for him, and I did get to raise some funds. And prior to the film, I raised like almost $10,000 for the project, and you'll be surprised because that still wasn't enough. But most of the people who contributed were people who loved my dad. It was his community. And it was just amazing to see how many people he's affected, because to me, he's my dad. But to the community, he has such an incredible legacy. And I wanted to create a story that honored that and served him in that regard and gave him his flowers while he is still here. And I got to present it to him in such a special way in Cincinnati, in his hometown, at the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center.
Wow.
So it was, oh, it was beautiful. Like, I have chills thinking about that moment again. But yeah, now it can be found on Quelle TV. They picked it up earlier this year, and if you want to go and watch it, you can go ahead, get your free trial, your subscription to Quelle TV, Quelli TV, and watch it there.
Good deal. I'm telling you, young, you are a force to be reckoned with. And with everything you have going on now, you just have such a huge resume, such a robust amount of work that you have presented to us and blessed us with. I just have to ask, what's next for Kaya? What you have for us? What you cooking up for us now?
Ooh, okay. So, like I said earlier, Hard Drive, the series, it's a mini series, like a proof of concept, a series that we're going to be pitching. It premieres September 11th on YouTube, so please mark your calendars. It's created by Cherie Antoinette. I got to star in it and also produce it, so I'm super thankful for that.
It's dope, y'all.
I
It's
have
so dope.
Yes, it is. It really is. I am trying to transition out of shorts. I want to get more into features and like pilots, TV, but as far as the producing side, but I do have one last short that I want to do. And I'm not going to speak too much on it right now, but it is a very personal story to me, and I can give the title. It's called Her Pretty Vagina.
Nice.
It is, I know you'd be like, what? I'm not going to give too much context about it, but it's a beautiful love story to my experience of, me growing into the woman that I am today. And I'm very excited to tell it. I am in the very early stages. I have a completed script, so that's exciting, but
Yes.
I need funding. So if anyone knows any investors, some women investors, or men or non-binary, that would be amazing if y'all know anybody who would be interested in empowering a very women focused film. I'm also in development for a feature film, a thriller. Yes, I'm super excited, and I'm producing that project. And CJ Sykes, actually, he's an incredible writer. He penned the script for that, and I have been helping with story. And we're very excited about that. We also have a finished pilot that we also penned together. And that's a like romantic dramedy. And what else? I feel like I have a lot of things in development.
Okay.
But I did say I was going to take a break, and my best friends are holding me accountable, but I'm taking a break like in September to just breathe. I had a rough summer with
Yeah.
everything with my dad and some other things that were happening. So I am taking a little bit of a break. But I'm excited as far as acting to kind of, after having this resting period, to get back in, hit the ground running hard for episodic season, and really hammering out these auditions and seeing what's going to happen. I think I've made some really good relationships with casting directors in multiple markets, and so I'm excited to see what lands.
I'm excited too. I'm hyped. I'm definitely hyped to see
Yeah.
what you have in store. Kaya, you've been, how can I put this? You have been a force in this industry. You have been a person who has definitely just who rises to the occasion. Since I've met you, you've always been the person to work. When it's down to work and you have something going on, you are definitely going to have your hand in it. If you're allowed to, and you're going to make sure that it comes out well. You prepare for shoots well. You provide feedback really well. You are definitely family oriented. So when you need help and you're able to put in sweat equity for someone else, they're more than willing to put sweat equity in for you. I have experience with that. You have gone through some hardships through your creative journey, but at the same time, you are still rising from the ashes as a phoenix should. Kaya, I am proud of you, and I thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
Blair, thank you. Thank you so much for just speaking life into me and encouraging me. And I'm giving your flowers right back. Like, thank you for creating this platform for us to even have this conversation. Just thank you so much. I see you and I see your journey, and we got to keep pushing each other.
Of course, of course. Again, community over competition. Family definitely pushes push each other to the top. Now, before we end it here, tell the people where they can find you.
So I actually just rebranded the name for my website, and it's www.kayacan.com, KIAHcan.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at kaya.alexandria, so Alexandria. I'm also on Twitter and Facebook. If you look hard enough, you'll find me. And I'm also on TikTok at Kaya the Actress. So, yeah, and feel free to reach out to me. My email and contact information is on my website, and I am looking forward to collaborating with you in the future.
And there you have it, folks. That is another dope episode of Creative Conversations in the Books. Everybody give a hand clap, a snap for Kaya. Thank you again for coming on the show. You can find Creative Conversations again at Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Make sure you rate the show 5 stars, follow it so we can get up in the algorithm so more people can hear these dope conversations. Until
Yes.
next time, people, stay blessed and always stay creative. Peace.